fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And before we begin today's show, I want to remind you tonight on EWTN television at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is Crossing the Goal. Be on again Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. and Monday morning at 6:30 a.m. for all you early birds. Hope you can watch the program. Some very exciting things are happening with Crossing the Goal around the country. More and more men in different dioceses are using the television programs as content for small groups. And if you're interested in something like that, go to our website at crossingthegoal.com. We've got a new website there. It's very user-friendly. Give you all the information about how you can just download and use the television programs for that same reason. And if you need any help, you can just contact Danny Abramowitz, whose number and contact information is there, as well as our new CEO, Ed Wickie. I want to continue today to talk about this conflict that's going on between the apostles as they go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, and the resistance that they experience from the religious leaders of the Sanhedrin, the high priest and the governing body of the people, religious body of the people of Israel. Today it's taken from Acts chapter 5, verse 27 and following. And what we see here today is Peter's kerygma. What is kerygma? It's the core message that the apostles preached, that the religious leaders told them to stop preaching. But this preaching, this message, is the nugget or the germ cell upon which the whole church is built and is born. This is the core of what the church exists to preach and to proclaim, because it's the core of what she believes. It's what the Holy Spirit wants the church to proclaim. It's how the core message of the church goes forward, and it's a proclamation, it's a declaration of a fact. And so we'll see here. Now we have the confrontation. Peter's been brought now, Peter and John, again before the religious leaders, and they're angry because they told the apostles to stop preaching, and they actually put them in jail, and in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord appeared and let them out and said, go back and tell everybody about this new life, the new life that you're living that has been given to you in Jesus Christ. So here's the passage. It said, when the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us. So he's angry. The apostles are not listening to him. He's saying, look, you're telling us we're responsible for this man's blood, and they were partially responsible, not only the religious leaders, but also the people. The people said, give us Barabbas, crucify him, crucify him. So literally what's revealed and what Luke is trying to do is not just lay the responsibility on the religious leaders or just the Jewish people, period, but understand all of us in our hearts, there's a resistance, a secret rancor against God. And our sin is what put Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, Peter responds. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, we must obey God rather than men. That line is enough for us to chew on, I think, for the rest of today. Who is it that we obey? Who is it that we really serve? There was a song by Bob Dylan years ago when he did a Christian album, says, you got to serve somebody. Raising the question, who are you going to serve? He said, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You're serving somebody. You might be serving yourself. You might be serving others that you think are your ticket to happiness. What's clear is there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of the devil. If we're not serving the Lord, then we're serving his enemy. So Peter and the apostles make it clear. We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. That is a beautiful summary. That's a powerful summary of the very core of what's at the faith of the Christian people. What's at the center? What's it all built on? And this is it. It's interesting that the chief priest, the head of the rulers of the people, said, you're making us responsible for this man's blood. You're doing what we told you not to do. And then Peter says, let me tell you whom we should all fear. That's essentially what he's saying here. Peter's filled with a healthy fear of God. We shouldn't fear any man. We should have a healthy fear of God, not a slavish fear. We know God loves us, but a fear that's based on the acknowledgement of who God is in his awesomeness, in his holiness, his power. And why would I listen to a creature when the Creator has called us to his purpose and commanded us to go forward and to proclaim the gospel and live for him? But Peter and the apostles said in reply, we must obey God rather than men. Now he goes into the proclamation. The very thing, it's so amazing, the very thing the high priest didn't want him to talk about anymore. Stop talking about Jesus. Stop making the claims that you're making about Jesus Christ. What does Peter do? He does just what the high priest didn't want him to do. And he proclaims what they've come to tell everyone. The God of our ancestors, that is right, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is very similar to the preaching that Peter gave. This is a summary, a shortened version of what Peter gave on Pentecost under the anointing of the Spirit. We need to see this is what the Spirit wants us to talk about. He wants us to tell others about Jesus. Well, what is it about Jesus? That he's God's beloved Son, that he took on human flesh, that he was crucified, but God raised him from the dead. And in Jesus Christ is the beginning of the new humanity, is existence beyond death, is everything is revealed in Jesus. And he goes on to say, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree, God exalted him at his right hand. This is so important. You crucified him, God raised him. You wanted to stuff him out and deny his claims of who he was. But God raised him and exalted him. Where's Jesus now? He's at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Jesus said, all power and authority has been given to me. Jesus, friends, is in charge of everything. All of human history is in the palm of his hands. We're in the last chapter. We're in the final hour of human history between the two comings of Jesus Christ. Mercy has come to the world because of God's love given to us through Jesus Christ. His rule has begun, and he's going to, as Paul tells us later for his first letter to the Corinthians, Jesus has been commissioned by the Father to deal with all resistance against the will of the Father and the kingdom of God. Jesus now is spreading out his mercy throughout the world to bring everyone into the kingdom of the Father. He's going to bring everything under his authority. Everyone and everything that's not under his authority will be judged, condemned, destroyed. That's a fact. There's a real battle going on here. And those who want to stay in the kingdom that resists God are going to experience what happens to those who resist God. They get what they want. Life apart from God, which the church calls hell. Though you had killed him by hanging him on a tree, God exalted him. Jesus was not just raised, he was exalted as leader and savior or Lord in Christ. Jesus is the one who has all authority to save. In him is the power of an indestructible life. Death could not hold him down. The world, the flesh, the devil could not hold him down. Satan and his kingdom and his minions could not hold him down. Jesus destroyed them all through his death on the cross and through his resurrection. Jesus Christ is Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord. What the Holy Spirit wants to do, and the reason the apostles are proclaiming this, is what Peter wants is for that mercy and power of God to fall upon the high priest and all the religious leaders, for them to come to receive the truth about Jesus, that they're not the leader, they're not the Savior. Jesus Christ is leader and Savior, and that he's come to take away sin and to give us new life in the Holy Spirit. And Peter's proclaiming it to them that he's saying, brothers, Jesus is exalted now. You killed him as a criminal, but we're here to tell you that he's alive, that he's risen, that he's at the right hand of the Father. And brothers, now he's got power. We're all to follow him now because we all need salvation. He's come to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. What did Jesus say? In Luke chapter 24, I will clothe you with power And now you will go forth to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins. This is what the church calls everybody to. This is one of the reasons why people hate the church. Obviously, there's a lot of hostility against the church in our time because of the sins of the church, or the hypocrisy of the church. But at the heart of the church are the saints. At the heart of the church are those who radically are surrendered to Jesus, are living lives of repentance, and have had their sins forgiven through the sacrament of confession, through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has come to grant repentance and forgiveness. He's the one who has authority. He's the one who diagnoses our need in saying, what is it I need to do to be saved? You need to change the direction of your life. You need to have God now at the center of your life, to follow in Jesus' footsteps, who lived to please the Father, who said he does whatever the Father commands him to do because he knows this is what the Father is due. He's our creator. We're made to glorify him, and his commands are not things that enslave us or limit us, but they are what bring us to life. They lead us to life, to happiness, to fulfillment, to become everything that we were meant to be, to step into and live in the purpose for which we were made. Peter goes on to say, this is what Jesus is offering, and this, my friend, is what you need. Without it, you will not be saved. Without it, you will not be saved. Jesus is leader and savior. He's leading us out of darkness to light. He's leading us from slavery to freedom. He's leading us into the kingdom of the Father. He's come to save us from the foolishness and the darkness of sin and death, the foolishness of our own hearts that believe a lie, that God can't be trusted, and the only way I'll find happiness and fulfillment is to be absolutely in charge of my own life, to determine what I think is right, what I think is true, what I think is best, all of that. Jesus has come to break the power of that lie and lead us out. But we can't come out unless we acknowledge the true condition of our heart, that yes, I do resist God. Yes, I am on the throne of my own life. I'm the one in charge. I'm living in a life of sin and resistance to God. I don't love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm not seeking God first with my life. I want to change that. Peter goes on to say, we are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Peter said, we're telling you what we know and what we have seen. And so is the Holy Spirit, who's confirming the words we proclaim with signs and wonders. When they heard this, what happened? What did they do? What got revealed was the heart of the leaders. They became infuriated, and they wanted to put them to death. They wanted to kill them, to silence the word. They didn't want their authority threatened. This is, again, a revelation of the human heart, not just this group of people, but throughout history. And it's in your heart, friends, and it's in my heart. And Jesus wants to free us from it and bring healing to us so we can live the life we were made to live for the glory of God. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.